Hi, and welcome to Feel Good with Joe, your Friday guide to staying happy and healthy. Each show, I interview an expert on health and well-being to get their tips on managing our often stressful lives. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Deborah Kerslake of the Kerslake Company, who's a coach, a trainer, a holistic therapist, a spiritual guide, and all sorts of other things. So welcome, Deb.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
So today we're going to talk about health and happiness in relationships, and particularly with our significant others. And the reason that I invited Debs along to talk about this is that she is known as the Love Doctor. So Debs, how on earth did you get that particular nickname?
We found that when people became a lot happier within their lives and more content, when they were feeling excited about their lives, suddenly they started to attract really great people into their lives. And often people seem to, after doing one of our courses, actually meet their life partner and get married. And it became a joke. So many people were doing it. So they started to coin the phrase the Love Doctor for me.
And so which courses are these that they were doing?
Primarily the professional coaching course, which is our ICF approved professional coaching course, which really, really increases your communication skills, your leadership skills, your confidence. And all these things seem to get you into a better place so you can attract a really great partner. In fact, we've got a course in September, coming up in September, if anyone's interested.
In finding their life partner.
In finding their life partner and becoming a certified coach.
So what sort of things are you doing on the courses that are making that difference? What's giving people the X factor?
I think it's understanding yourself is very important. When people realize that they're not broken, they don't need fixing, just sometimes there are things they find a lot easier and things that they struggle with. Once they realize that, they can be more accepting to who they are and also maybe work on the things that need a bit of extra work. But also, I find that when you really understand people, you're much more forgiving. So you're much more likely to forgive a person rather than get angry or expect and that makes you a much nicer partner for a start, and it makes you much more attractive to a partner.
So if we were going to give any advice on how to be happy and healthy in love, what would you say is the most important things that people need to be doing or saying?
Do you know, there are so many lots and lots of little things that you can do and you can put into your life right now that will make a significant difference. Just one of them is give what you want. You know, I had a client the other day and she loves her partner and they get on really well, but she said he's not kind. And she said, I want him to be more kind to me. And so we talked through how she speaks to him. And she was quite critical, actually. I was quite surprised hearing how much she adored him. And I said to her, why don't you try being kinder to him and seeing how that plays out? And it was amazing, the difference. It was almost instant. So things like give what you want to receive is a very simple, quick, easy way to start to turn around a relationship that maybe might not be going in the way you want it to.
I've heard... in fact, I once received an excellent piece of advice on a very similar style. When I was complaining once about my husband, so we've been together a long time, and was complaining about him not really showing up. I felt like he was supposed to be sort of leading somehow. I don't know where I ever got that idea. But anyway, I was complaining with a friend of mine about him not leading. And in the end, she just turned around and said, well, if you know what's needed in the relationship, why don't you take the lead?
Brilliant.
Right. I had no answer at all. I just had that moment of, yeah, okay, that's a really good piece of advice.
Isn't that brilliant? I love it. And also listen when other people say things, because often other people can see your relationship much more clearly than you can. So if a really good friend is suggesting something, rather than take umbrage or get upset or ignore it, just listen and think, is that true? Could that be possible? But another really, really important thing, I think, in relationships is respect. Because so many people are very, very nice and kind and respectful to strangers.
Yes.
And yet to their loving, significant, most important relationship are actually not terribly respectful. And I find that distressing.
Yeah.
So maintaining that great respect for your partner and treating him as if you would somebody that you just met and liked, I think that's really important.
And that is a really nice, that treating somebody as if you've just met them is such a nice way to put it, because we make so many assumptions. We assume, especially if we've known somebody for 5 years, 10 years, we assume that we know where they're going to come from on an issue, or we know what they're going to say. And of course, lots of the time, we do know what they're going to say, and they are predictable, and they do say exactly what we were thinking they would. But sometimes they don't. And I find for myself, not just with my husband, but in wider relationships, when I am just curious, I'm just curious, what's this person going to say? They really can surprise me. And it's not necessarily what I'd have thought.
As a trainer of coaches, that probably is the highest form of listening. Listening with curiosity and interest. Because then you put no judgments on it. So you don't know what's going to come out. And also, by listening in that way, you give them permission to say exactly what they need to say. Mm. So you're allowing them space and time and permission. Mm. It's a really nice way of listening.
So what would you say if somebody really, you know, somebody's listening to us now thinking, well, no, but I do know exactly what they're going to say about this, or, you know, I don't know, maybe it's their child and they've had the same conversation 100 times. How would you help them to think about it differently so that they can give listening a go?
One of the things is to step back. Often we're too close. And we see the nitty-gritty, but we don't see the overview. Mm. One of the things I talk to parents about with their children is I say to them, why don't you just decide that your child is the most amazing person in the universe and you are so incredibly lucky to be able to nurture and lead this child forward? Why don't you just decide and choose to do that? And you can do that with your partners as well, even if you've been in, I mean, my husband and I have been married for years and years and years, and sometimes it's just really nice to step back and go, he's an amazing person, actually. I mean, apart from all the little annoyances, we all have those. I mean, with all of our relationships at times, they go in peaks and troughs. But why not just step back and just notice all the good things that they do and notice all the kind things that they do that we take for granted quite often?
Absolutely. And to say thank you. I mean, I've found that's something with clients that I work with. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to express thank you and to express their affection and their kindness. And one of the things I like to do is to lower their expectations of themselves and just say, you know what, just once today. That's it. That's all you need to do. Just one thank you for something you genuinely appreciate. And anybody can manage that.
I love that. It's such a simple thing. In fact, a friend of mine this morning was saying to me, one thing she tries to do every day is notice one nice thing that her husband does for her or says to her or anything. And she says she always tries to do that because she finds that it keeps her mind focused on the positive rather than always dwelling upon the negative, which is just so easy to do and so human. But we must be mindful not to fall into that trap.
Absolutely. So we're talking partly about sort of managing the everyday niggles, which of course can build up and become bigger. But what if we're talking about a relationship which genuinely in serious difficulty, you know, a relationship that's really causing stress? What are the things that help you stay healthy even in that situation where things may be disintegrating?
I do see a lot of people like that, and it's terribly sad. One of the things I have noticed, and this obviously isn't everybody, but one of the things I've really noticed in my practice is sometimes when the woman comes to see me, she is unhappy with the relationship, unhappy how she's being treated, and just feels like she's less than her husband, her children, whoever. It's really interesting when we work on herself and what she wants out of life and what her old dreams are and resurrect them and get her interested in her life again, get her excited about a project. Sometimes the marriage was okay. Sometimes it was a reflection of how she felt about herself. So in some circumstances, a lot in my experience, that has been the case. However, having said what you said earlier, if the marriage is seriously breaking down, I think the most important thing you can do is remind yourself of who you used to be before you started to compromise, and change into something that perhaps you don't like very much anymore. And really ask people that used to know you before, what were you like? And just try and get back to the authentic you. And, you know, that's the person that your partner fell in love with anyway. It's not always easy, but it's really, really worth doing. And then once you've found that, then you can decide what you need to do, because you'll have the strength.
And part of that for me is being able to forgive yourself for the things you may have done in the process of a relationship disintegrating, because it can take us to such a stress point that we maybe don't even recognize ourselves. We don't recognize the things that we say or the things that we do. And forgiveness seems to be a really huge gift that we can give ourselves. But people often struggle with it. And what have you found helps in practice if somebody is struggling either to forgive themselves or somebody else?
It's often easier to forgive somebody else. So I always say to them, what would you do if somebody, your best friend, somebody you really, really loved, if they were doing that? What would you say to them? And they'd say, well, of course, I would say, goodness, give yourself a break. You know, you're only human. You know, you didn't notice it. You know, often it's incremental. You don't notice that you're compromising so much in the beginning. That's what we would say to a friend. But often we can't say it to ourselves, and we berate ourselves and, you know, kick ourselves around. And so I say, talk to yourself as you would to your best friend. And when you realize you're still doing it sometimes, just go, do you know what? It's okay. It's an old habit. It just needs time for me to, time and vigilance for me to learn different habits again.
And it can help to acknowledge the fact that you're trying to change it with your partner and that you're struggling to change it. And you say, yes, I notice that I'm doing this, whatever it might be, and I'm really working on it. And can we just have a early warning system? So, you know, if you notice that I'm doing it before you get to the point where you can't bear me anymore, just let's agree what you'll say, which can help me change my habit. I've seen that work very, very well with people, because also then the partner understands, yes, this isn't a behavior that I would choose to be on the receiving end of, but at the same time, I can see that he or she's really working to change it, and I can really support that. So one other hot topic, which gets really mixed reception pretty much any time I talk about it, is boundary setting. And a very interesting response I once had was somebody really just saying, oh, boundaries, I hate it when people mention boundaries, are horrible. You know, what are they? Why do we need them? And I'm really curious how you would respond to that question. Why do we need boundaries? What are they?
Well, if we didn't have boundaries, we'd be a bunch of savages. I mean, boundaries are what keeps us in line. I mean, basically, if we didn't have the boundary of if you kill somebody, you're going to go to jail. I mean, I wonder how many more violent deaths there'd be. I mean, boundaries are essential, but they're also essential for our self-esteem. If we let people push us and push us and push us and push us, we feel like we're being walked over. We feel like nothing. It can get really bad. So to set a boundary saying, I will go this far and no further, makes you respect yourself more. It's about respect.
Which brings it neatly back to one of the key things you were saying, that people need to give and to receive in a relationship earlier. So, really excited to have spent this time with you. If people want to know more or learn more, where would they go?
Go to my website, The Kerslake Company. We have a course in September which would give mahoosive personal development skills. We also have a wonderful women's wellness weekend if you want a bit of pampering and a bit of nurturing, but also Pilates, meditation and numerology, things that will tell you about yourself. Then that's in November. So we've got a couple of things coming up quite soon. But also just read books. Read books on subjects you're interested in. The definition of life is growth. And while you're growing and living, then that's the whole point of being alive, surely.
Absolutely. And I just couldn't agree more that we just need to start somewhere with the things that float our boat, yep. whether now or they did in the past, if we've lost a sense of what our passion is now.
Yep.
So you could always go backwards to, and I did this exercise once. I once went back to my 16-year-old self, really knew what she was doing. So what was she doing?
Yep.
And I started those things again.
Perfect.
So thank you so much, Deborah.
It's been delightful. A pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. And I'm looking forward to our next show, which is with Anne Denny, a local hypnotherapist. And we will be talking about positive parenting, continuing our discussion of relationships. Brooklyn's Radio.